Good evening. Welcome to worship tonight at Emmanuel Lutheran. We also welcome the members of Trinity and our guest pastor, Pastor Tim Duesenberg, his congregation with us tonight. We are glad to have you tuned in, and we'll start.
Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. On this, the eve
of the sixth Sunday of Easter, and I would like to extend greetings from Gift of Grace Lutheran Church to Emmanuel Lutheran Church, and our prayers for and our delight with the partnership we have with this congregation, our prayers with you through this difficult time with the virus, and our prayers most especially with your congregation for Pastor Dave and for Julie as they battle cancer. And it's our privilege to participate and join with you in your prayers. I've got to say a disqualifier as I'm looking it out. I'm looking out at two people in a lot of chairs, and I'm pretending that people are seated in the chairs, and I'm also pretending that somebody's actually watching this. And I don't know how good I am at pretending, but I'm glad to help out here at Emmanuel Lutheran and to fill in for Pastor Dave. The job when you fill in for a pastor is to make sure that the congregation is very eager to have their pastor back, and that's something that I'm qualified to do quite well, it's a privilege to be here. And we're going to go ahead with our service using With One Voice, and we begin our service on page 10 with a brief order for confession and forgiveness of sins. And I would normally ask the congregation to rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please take a moment for reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We continue with the use of hymn 783.
And all
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Heavenly Father, in the sacrament of baptism, you bless us with the presence of your Son as our advocate, dwelling in us as the Spirit of truth. Grant that we may treasure this gift above all else, following Christ in obedience and humility. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The first lesson is from Acts chapter 17, beginning with verse 16. Now, while Paul was waiting for Silas and Timothy at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him, and some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities, because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you: the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all, by raising him from the dead." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 66, and we will read it responsively. "Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard.
Who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip.
For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried.
You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs.
You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water.
Yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance.
I will come into your house with burnt offerings.
I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble.
I will offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams.
I will make an offering of bulls and goats.
Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for my soul.
I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue.
If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened.
But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer.
Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer
or removed his steadfast love from me.
The second lesson is from 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. "Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please rise. Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please stand. We'll continue with hymn number 690. 690.
Going by the dark.
I should give a shout out to Trinity Lutheran also might be accessing this. Trinity Lutheran as well, greetings from Emmanuel Lutheran and from Gift of Grace. And what an exciting thing I hear happening on Sunday morning with a drive-in possibility for worship. I've just got to say to begin with that it's hard to look out and not see a congregation gathered. But I think we're all very thankful for the technology that allows us to connect, and with the Word of God and the preaching and the teaching, that goes unhindered. But I hope there's an emptiness as we feel that sense of the fullness that we have when we can share in the Eucharist and be together in close proximity. And I hope you're feeling that. Maybe you're comfortable, maybe you're reclining and enjoying yourself. This is tough, not responding with group. The four people are spread out. That'll help a little bit. I have a tendency to want to look into the monitor here and look at myself. I've got a radio voice, not so much a television face, so I think I'll avoid that as much as I possibly can. All right, enough nonsense, but it's good to know that Trinity's a partner as well here. I'm picking up something from the first lesson, and I think you'll see why I find this interesting, this line in verse 18. And some said, what does this babbler with have to say? Let me get that right. What does this babbler wish to say? Others said, he seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. And let me continue with prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And everyone said a hearty amen. So the Apostle Paul had developed a reputation in Athens for being a babbler. Specifically, he was noted for taking every opportunity to speak of Jesus and of Jesus' resurrection. In our present moment, we can too easily excuse our lack of being noted for being babblers who wish to speak about Jesus and his resurrection. Well, maybe it's not true of all of us, but probably a lot of reticence today. What a great thing to be known for as a babbler on a particular topic, wanting to talk to people about Jesus, that people would know, even if we're kind and we back off, that people would know that we wish to speak about Jesus and specifically about his resurrection. But we might excuse ourselves with cliches that I've heard that have some truth. Cliches, maybe you've heard them too. Better to walk the walk than to talk the talk. Oh, if it's better to walk the walk than to talk the talk. It's a good thing to walk the talk. The talk will have a lot more importance if we're also walking it. But that cliche can be something that we hide behind. Or there's the cliche that actions speak louder than words. Or your actions speak so loudly I can't hear a word that you have to say. And again, actions are extremely important, and they better match our talk, but they don't replace our talk. Words attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, preach wherever you go, and if necessary, use words. Well, I'm here to tell you from the scriptures and Paul's example that words are necessary. Our actions are important and they go along with our words, but our actions don't tell people who it is or what it is that we're worshiping. Who is the God who's become flesh and dwelt among us? Our actions don't tell us that Jesus Christ died and rose again, and in dying and rising, offered the forgiveness of sins, atoned for our sins, conquered sin, death, and the power of the evil one. Our actions may be commensurate with that, but it will take words, and that shouldn't surprise us. The Apostle Paul will write to the church in Rome, in the 10th chapter, so faith comes from hearing. My congregation knows this one, and maybe others do too. Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing and hearing. And there's a number of translations, they all mean the same thing, the word of Christ, the preaching of Christ, the word of God, they all work together. Our words that get heard are God's seed of good news of his grace, of the forgiveness that's afforded us by Jesus' death and resurrection that enter our ears and make their way to our heart and do vital work and create and sustain faith in us. So words are necessary. I want to take a look at the lesson briefly. I've been told that one key at this time is to have briefer sermons. We'll see how that works. I believe that Pastor Dave will throw an extra $20 in if I go especially long and people complain about how long I am. That's just something I can do for him too. But I'll try to be brief. We find the Apostle Paul in Athens in Greece. And he's doing a little waiting there. He'd had a bumpy ride in Thessalonica, and he, along with Silas and Timothy, had gone to Berea, a little better reception there, but the people in Thessalonica came to bother him there. And he went on ahead to Athens, and he told Silas and Timothy, he said, you follow afterwards as you complete some work here, and I'll wait for you in Athens. And so we find the Apostle Paul in Athens. And we read this, now while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw the city was full of idols. Spirit provoked within him, a city full of idols. Now this was pretty explicit in Athens, but what city isn't full of idols? We'll let Luther help us a little bit on what an idol or a false god is. As in the explanation to the first commandment, you shall have no other gods, Luther says we are to fear, love, and trust God above anything else. So, easily from that definition, idol is anything we fear, love, and trust more than God. Or another way of looking at it, we make a god out of anything that we turn to for our ultimate happiness or fulfillment, for satisfying our deepest hunger and for slaking or quenching our deepest thirst, for finding meaning in life, whatever it is that we're looking to, that we've made a god out of or an idol. If it isn't the Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the God and Father made known through his Son, Jesus Christ, who became incarnate and lived among us, and then died and rose again and ascended to heaven and promised to come back. And we find out that the Holy Spirit is involved too to bring us to faith in the Son who shows us the Father. Anything else that we look to is an idol. And Paul's spirit was provoked within him to see so many people on dead-end streets, so many people going to cisterns that were not holding water, so many people going to wells that you could not draw anything from. So many people on pathways, the end of which is death. Paul would have had as great a sense as anybody for how easy for us, even if we know who is the source of every good and perfect gift that comes down from heaven, how tempted we are to listen to the lies that are incessantly speaking to us in our flesh and in the world, and whispering promises that can never be fulfilled to us. And his spirit was provoked. And what did Paul do when his spirit was provoked? He went about babbling, talking about Jesus, reasoning in the synagogue and among the devout and in the marketplace. That's what he went about, proclaiming to people the source of our deepest hunger, the only thing that can fulfill us. He did battle against the falsehood, and his reasoning was proclaiming Jesus to people. Now, somebody might find it a little bit interesting that here we find that Paul preaches Jesus and Jesus' resurrection. How does that work when in his letter to the church in Corinth, the first Corinthians, he says, I know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified, and in another place, we preach Christ crucified. Well, here he's preaching Jesus and his resurrection. Same thing. We tend to, for whatever reason, separate the crucifixion and the cross from the resurrection, but it's just one continuous motion, and it really starts with the incarnation, and it doesn't complete itself until the ascension and the return. But particularly, we can focus in on Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection as the act for our salvation. It is in Jesus' death that he atones for sin, and that makes forgiveness of sin possible. And when sin is atoned for and removed, death loses its grip and Satan has no power. So on the cross, he truly defeats sin, death, and the power of the evil one. And the resurrection just vindicates and just shows forth that and shows forth our greatest hope. So we can preach Jesus and his resurrection or his crucifixion, or we can do both, because we're preaching the same thing, and that's what Paul's doing. And notice how he starts out in the synagogue, the Jewish place of worship, not unlike how we gather in church buildings and sites that we call a church. You know, we don't just go to church, we are the church that gathers, but it's nice when the church gathers that it has a building, and so we call that a church. But we believers are like living stones. We comprise the church and we assemble together. Synagogue, much like that. And that's a good place to start when we want to talk about Jesus and when we want to talk about his death and his resurrection. But then he went to the devout. These were the seekers. These were the people that were hanging around the synagogue or coming in and were exploring and were interested. And they're an easy group when they already have an interest in God's working in people's heart. Then Paul went into the marketplace and developed a reputation that if he has half a chance, he's going to talk to you about Jesus. And he's going to mention Jesus' resurrection. And he's going to talk about that. His spirit was provoked. And he realizes there's a lot of falsehood here. And there's a lot of darkness here, and he wants to shine light, and he'll do it in the marketplace. And I find that worth noting. Now, we have a very brief example of how Paul went about this. And so I want to look at three things that we can learn from the Apostle Paul. There's a lot more there, how we can go about being babblers, babbling our way, taking every opportunity we can to talk about Jesus and about his resurrection. I want you to note as we went through this that Paul makes a connection with the people in Athens, and he finds some neutral ground. I think he maybe in a way is complimenting. He says to the Athenians, and by the way, they hear him babbling, and he finally gets invited to go to Mars Hill and to the Areopagus, and they like to sit around, and you had the philosophers, and there was all kinds of worship in Athens. And they had statues and they had altars. And Paul gets a hearing with a bigger group of people. And there he is. And he finds a way to connect with people. And he says to them, you are very religious. That's kind of neutral, not necessarily negative, not necessarily positive, probably more positive than negative, but a way to connect. I'm just looking all around. You're very religious. And he'll pick up things that he saw. I think it's important when we try to get a hearing with people that we connect with people and we find some way to connect. I'm here in Rochester. Maybe if I were having trouble connecting, I would say, this is an interesting city. The medical establishments here are renowned. People come from around the world, just making an observation. And I don't know if the most creative person in the world, but I say, you got great physicians here, and people that are sick will come to visit in Rochester and come to the great Mayo Clinic and go to the hospital. And my attempt at a segue might be something like, And where do we go to the greatest physician of all? For a sickness that isn't just our body, but it's our spirit, our soul, our life as well. Let me introduce you to the great physician and the healer of every woe. Anyway, Paul makes a connection here. I see you're very religious. Paul will write to the church in Corinth, and he'll say this, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win the Jews." Paul was a Jew, by the way. "To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I become as one outside the law," but an important parenthesis here, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, "that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I become weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all people, that by all means I might save one." As we try to have conversation and introduce people to Jesus in his resurrection, trying to connect with them, that's so important. But then we have something to share. And some people might see it a little arrogant that we think we have answers to things. But I hope we know it isn't arrogant, because it's no credit to us that we have found or that we thought up or that we were clever enough. We have received something that we want to share with others. Christ came to us in his word. Somebody shared Jesus and his death and his resurrection with us, and we wish to share it with somebody else. And so we start to transition the conversation. "What therefore," Paul said, and by the way, is interesting, "I passed your objects of worship, and when I did, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.'" Kind of reminds me in Arlington, the tomb to the unknown soldier that gets so much attention. Paul's using a little ingenuity here. I can work with that. And he'll go on, "What therefore you worship is unknown, this I proclaim to you. The creator of all does not live in temples made by man, nor does he need anything, since all that exists is totally dependent on him for existence. He made us for himself to live in fellowship with him. He has come to us. He is not far. He comes to us in his word." Paul will say in Romans, "How blessed are the feet of those who bear the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ." And although he doesn't say it right here, we already know that he had talked about Jesus' resurrection, so we know that Paul is sharing the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins, so that we might preach the repentance onto the forgiveness of sins. So there he is, and he's sharing it in this marketplace. We can just assume that there was a full gospel. We just get a little bit of an outline here. But Paul's not afraid also to give the full counsel of God's word and to warn. He says, "We are not to look to gold, silver, stone, or images formed by the imagination of man. Be warned. Times of ignorance God has overlooked, but he will come again to judge the living and the dead." Where do we hear those words? We'll confess them a little later when we confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, that he will come again to judge the living and the dead. When I was a kid growing up, it was to judge the quick and the dead. And boy, I wanted to be quick. I didn't want to be dead. I guess the dead don't move too fast. But beautiful expression. Never can forget it here. And there's an urgency to this message. Now, our God revealed, the Father revealed, and the Son through the Holy Spirit is nothing but a loving God. But he loves us so much that he yearns for us to enjoy fellowship and life in him, and he knows if we turn to our own devices what ends up as a result of that. And he warns us of that. You don't want to go there. That way ends up in death. Sometimes we see, and there's such a thing as God's wrath, and I certainly don't want to soft pedal it, but like God is just ticked off and angry, and he will make an excuse if we get our act together. It's not like that at all. God loves us so dearly. The warnings are the consequence of what happens when we turn away from the source of life. And that is to experience the wrath of God because he's holy. But we know clearly in the scriptures, God does not desire the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn, that they might live. And so Paul doesn't spare what's loving in the end, the harsh reality of what it is to follow an idol instead of the true God. So what's so instructive about this passage, and it's a little beyond where the reading ended, is the mixed reaction. Some mocked when they heard this notion of the death and particularly the resurrection and thought it was foolish. The intellectuals had a lot of trouble with the dead coming to life again. Well, I guess I do too. Not something you see every day, but I believe with all my heart that that's indeed what had happened, because I trust the testimony of people that would have had an equally hard time believing that that was possible. So some mocked, some postponed and said, we will hear you again. I hope that was sincere. It's just a little bit much, but Paul would have an opportunity to continue. And then we read that some joined Paul and believed, Dionysius and Demarius and others. You get the idea here, it wasn't many. Athens wasn't one of the great successes, but every soul counts, every person. A mixed response is always the case. Some fields are ripe for the harvest, and other fields are largely impervious to the planting of seeds. But you know, that didn't keep Paul from babbling, from wishing to talk about Jesus and his resurrection. And Paul used the illustration that we just plant and water. The growth belongs to God. So I ask you, are you ready to start being noted for being a babbler, somebody who wishes to tell people about Jesus and about his death and his resurrection? May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And everyone said, amen. I think I got that $20 mark from Pastor Dave with that length. We'll continue with the use of the hymn. This one is printed in the bulletin. What's the name? Spirit of God, descend upon my heart, as printed in the bulletin.
We need in from earth.
Continuing our service on page 33, we confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Let us pray to our risen Savior on behalf of the church, the world, and all people according to their need. Thank you, Jesus, for your faithful servants who have openly proclaimed what otherwise would have been hidden to us, that you are true God and true man, crucified and raised from the dead for the forgiveness of sin unto eternal life. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to teach, comfort, and guide us in your way forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant that your church always worships and proclaims you as the Redeemer of the world. Fill it with your Spirit so it is always ready to make a defense to anyone who questions the hope that is in it. Cause it to speak and act with gentleness and respect. Above all, kindle in the church such love for you that it keeps your commandments and draws many to faith in you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Graduation approaches for many of our young people and for many who have returned to school later in life. COVID-19 has made this year a difficult one for our graduates. Give them wisdom as well as knowledge, focus as well as confidence, and righteousness as well as competency in their chosen fields. Use their skills to better this world and keep their eyes fixed on you and the world to come. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Deal gently with all who are afflicted by confusion, sorrow, pain, remorse, or despair. Heal every hurt they have sustained. Especially pray for these we name: Dan Berklin, Barb Stephenson, Kelly Stoyles, Denny Damerville, Amy Cooper, Melody, Pastor Dave Stephenson, Diane Opheim, Bernie Siebenaler, David Deacon Joyner, Jeff Bernards, Trig Bergau, the graduates of this year, and all those touched by COVID-19. Attend to the voice of our prayer for them. Bring them into a place of refreshment, health, and hope. Give compassion, wisdom, and patience to everyone who cares for them, and sustain them with your gracious Spirit. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. We praise and magnify you, dear Jesus. Accept our prayers and lay them at the feet of your Father, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns gloriously as our Lord and our God, now and forever.
Amen.
We'll continue with the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hymn number 723.
Thank you.
be to God.
And Christ is risen, alleluia. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia.